wife back here in the back, Emmy, with my youngest boy, Johnny. And I'm so thankful for my wife and for the part she plays in our ministry. And also thankful for my kids. I got Anna over here. I see Anna. She's 9. Anna, raise your hand really high. And I saw Joseph is back here too. Joseph is just turned 8. And then I don't see Elizabeth, but we also have, there's Elizabeth too, right by her sister. And then we got one in the nursery. But sure, I'm thankful for my kids. In fact, Anna was born in Odessa. Anna was born at Medical Center there in Odessa, so she's back in her hometown. I also want to just say thank you for those that have been praying for us. Thank you, Pastor, for your faithfulness and support and prayer for our family. Thank you for allowing Amanda to go to Argentina. We really enjoyed Amanda in Argentina. And the only thing she taught my kids how to speak without really opening their mouth. And I think, I don't know how many of you know about that, about Amanda, but she taught a lot of the kids in Argentina that for the next 2 weeks, that's all we heard was the noise of Amanda. So, but that was fun. My kids remember Amanda for that. I also just want to say thank you so much for everything you've done for our family. And it's really a joy to be here. Y'all are my first church to be in. So if throughout the message I start speaking in a different language, it's Spanish, okay? It's not, I'm going crazy. And I told a lot of people, it's just hard to get all your thoughts in English because I've been preaching for the past 3 years in Spanish. My mind is still thinking in Spanish. So I have to be really careful. But most of you know Spanish, right? Okay, see, good. I knew he was holding out back here. But so just bear with me. So I will say this, a lot of words in Spanish are really similar. And you do got to be careful. We have a new missionary, a missionary that's been working with us for 2 years. And when he first got there, he was trying to tell everybody that he was a missionary and he came to start churches. That's what missionaries do. Well, he got some words backwards, actually some very important words, and he was telling people that he was a millionaire and that he came to sink churches, not to start churches. So immediately I had to say, hey, if you're a millionaire, you need to go give me some money. So, but and then as well, you know, so you have the word pellegrino, which means pilgrim, and you have the word pingüino. One of them, pingüino means penguin. So he was preaching on a Wednesday night trying to say that we're pilgrims. And he says, we're penguins here on this earth. So don't tell him that I told you all that. But all right, well, let's go ahead and open up our Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew and chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse 18, or read down to verse 22. Matthew 8, verses 18 through 22. Bible says this. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. So we're going to talk about this morning. And that is that God is looking for committed people. God is looking for committed people. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time to praise your name. Thank you for the opportunity to show what you've done in Argentina through us, Lord. And we're so thankful to serve you in Argentina. Thank you for this church and for its stand. Thank you for the faithfulness and prayer and loving on our family. And Lord, we do pray now that you would bless this time together. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. We love you. And in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I feel safe to say this morning that we're living in a society where many are very committed. They're committed in a lot of different areas of life in a lot of different ways. For example, some are very committed to their jobs. We should be. The Bible commands us to work, and it says that a man that doesn't work shouldn't what? Eat. Well, I like to eat, so I might as well work, right? So the Bible says, or we see that people are very committed in their work. Many spend countless hours in the office or on the job site to finish a project. People are committed in their studies. They go to some university and they're preparing to be a doctor or preparing to do some other career, and they're very dedicated to their studies, and they'll sacrifice maybe family time or time with friends and stay home and read and study for the exam. They're very committed to that. Some people are very committed to sports, to their favorite team, whether it's Permian or Odessa High. You're committed to your team, right? I'm thinking of professional athletes, but just preparing for this, professional athletes spend 4 to 6 hours a day training. I would say they're very committed to their sport, to their profession. Many of us are committed to being in shape, and not the round shape, but the thin shape, right? We want to look good. And so many of us will spend money, we'll spend time to go to the gym, we'll spend money and time on buying healthy foods and cooking so that we can be healthy. So I don't think I need to go any further. We understand that people are very committed to the things that they like or to the things that they enjoy. Why many are committed to all these different things that I've mentioned and many other, there's one thing that many are lacking to be committed to, and that is to the service of the Lord. It doesn't bother us to be committed to all the things I mentioned, because those are things that we have a tendency to enjoy and a tendency to like, and nobody's going to scream at us and nobody's going to yell at us. But when it comes to the things of God, and when it comes to church life or the Christian life, we tend to want to slack off a little bit. We only serve when it's convenient to us, when we see, well, what can I get out of it? But what God is looking for this morning is people that are going to be just as committed to Him as they are to their job, or they are to their sport, or they are to their family, or you name it. That is what He's looking for in our lives. Many want the blessings of God, but they don't want it to be sold out to God. There's no commitment to God. But I want to say this morning that if we're going to be a true disciple, a disciple is someone that follows Jesus. If we're going to be a true disciple of the Lord, then we must be committed to live our lives according to the Word of God. We're going to have to be committed. Oh, you may say, but I have a desire to live according to the Word of God. But commitment is a desire accompanied by sacrifice. It's not just a desire, I feel this. It is a desire that is accompanied by making the sacrifice to be committed. Take sacrifice. When we come to our passage here in Matthew 8, Jesus is surrounded by a multitude of people. In fact, verse 18 says, "Now when Jesus saw a great multitude about him." So he's surrounded by this great multitude of people, and they came to see him, not because they wanted to follow him, but they came to see him because they wanted to see him perform miracles. They wanted to see him perform healings. So this is why the multitudes are gathered around, because they're waiting for some kind of show to see what is he going to do next. Jesus has been very busy on this day. Just to let you know some things that he's done in the beginning of the chapter, he has come off from the mount of where he's beatitude, where he did the Sermon on the Mount. He's come down, and now some of the things that he's already done this day is he's healed the servant of the centurion man. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. That evening, after healing Peter's mother-in-law, many were brought to him that were demon-possessed. He healed all of them. Many were brought to him that were sick with other diseases. And he healed all of them. Now, I don't know about you, but after a busy day, I'm ready to rest. How many are with me? I'm tired. I want to get home and I want to relax. Well, this has been a very busy day for Jesus, and we know that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, and by now he's tired. And he's tired, and the last thing you want to see when you're tired is a lot of people. Well, he looks around, and there's multitudes, great multitudes around him. I don't know how many were in the multitudes, but it's a lot. And so he commands his disciples to cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But before he could cross over to the other side and get away from the multitudes, he was approached by two different people. One was a scribe, and the other was a disciple. Both of these men are going to show us that they have a desire to follow Jesus, but neither one of them is going to be willing to make the sacrifice necessary to follow him. So let's look in verse 19. "And a certain scribe came and said unto him." Who is a scribe? We need to understand who the scribes are. So a scribe is a Jewish leader, and his primary function was to copy royal and sacred manuscripts. The scribes are mentioned in the Bible very often as being people that opposed Jesus' teaching. So they weren't known to want to follow Jesus' teaching. They were known to making his teachings difficult and to rejecting his teachings and maybe even mocking his teachings and maybe confronting him and questioning his teachings. They weren't people that you would say, oh, there's someone that wants to follow Jesus. So those are the scribes. They would oppose his teaching. They were also associated with the chief priest and the elders in causing the death of Jesus. I want us to look at a few scriptures to help us understand. Go to Mark. Don't lose your place in Matthew, but Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 43 says, "And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas." This is when Judas is going to betray Jesus. "One of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priest," and who? "The scribes and the elders." Go to verse number 53 of the same chapter. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders, and who? And the scribes. Go to Mark 15, verse 1. And straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. So the scribes were right there when they delivered Jesus unto Pilate. Look down in verse 31 of the same chapter. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes. So here we see that the scribes were mocking Jesus with who? With the chief priest and the elders. These scribes that were mentioned, they're very educated people. They were teachers, but they weren't followers of Jesus. That's who the scribes were. So, Jesus is tired. He's wanting to get away from the multitudes and cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And here comes this scribe to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus with a very interesting question. Go back to Matthew 8 and verse 20. Not a question, but a statement. Verse 19, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. The scribe calls Jesus Master. For him to call Jesus Master was something very strange. Something that you wouldn't see on a daily basis. Something that if you and I would have been there and we would have heard this scribe say Master, it would have caught our attention and we would have looked like, what are you doing calling him Master? You don't follow his teachings. You're not one of his followers, but you oppose his teachings. And we know the scribes and what they do. What are you doing calling him Master? But it was likely that he called him Master because he recognized Jesus as a great teacher of his time. He never heard anyone speak with such authority as Jesus did. He never seen anybody do the miracles that Jesus did. So I believe that, yes, this scribe was coming to Jesus and he was stepping out of his comfort zone by calling him Master, and he recognized who Jesus was. And I believe with all my heart that he had a desire to want to follow Jesus until Jesus said some things that he didn't like. And he wasn't willing to make the sacrifice. Well, why did Jesus tell him? Look at verse 20. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. What he is saying is that he didn't have the basic comforts of life, which is a place to call home. Oh, the foxes call the holes their home. Oh, well, the birds, they call the nest their home. But the Son of Man, me, Jesus, I don't have a place that I call home. Why, it's mentioned several times that he went to Peter's house and he spent countless times in Peter's house there in Capernaum. And it's also mentioned that he spent several days on several occasions, went to Bethany and was in Mary and Martha's and Lazarus' house. Never once is it mentioned in the Word of God that Jesus had a home of his own. It was always somebody else's home. And so here Jesus tells him these words because he knew the condition of this man's heart. And that as many people today have a desire to follow God, they never stop to think about the sacrifice that comes with following him. Well, what does that mean? To deny self. and say yes to the will of God. Oh yes, I have this great desire to want to follow Jesus. That's great. Well then on Sunday when the Word of God is preached and pastor preaches directly from the Word of God and he says you need to stop doing this and you need to start doing this, then you need to say, Lord, not my will but thine will. This is something that I like to do, but I have been shown very clearly in the Word of God that it's wrong. So Lord, I'm going to stop doing it and I'm going to start following your will. That's the difference. I want to be committed to you, and so I'm going to make the sacrifice to say no to myself and do your will. That means if God is speaking to your heart about getting involved in a ministry, if God is speaking to your heart this morning about serving Him in the area of missions or about serving Him in any area of ministry, then a committed person is going to say, yes, Lord, I have my plans, I have my dreams, I have my expectations of what I want. I know what I want to do with my family, and being a missionary is not one of them, but Lord, I want to be committed to your will, so I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to obey you. He, the scribe, was not willing to be committed or to pay the price to follow Jesus. To be a true disciple. So now we have in verse 21 another person. The disciple. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. The word disciple here, I don't believe it's referring to one of the 12. But I believe it's referring to one of the followers, someone that has been following Jesus up to this point. And he's wanting to go over to the other side. And Jesus stops him for a minute. Because he says, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. So when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, he was going to follow him. And Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. And he's like, wait, let me go bury my father. This doesn't mean that his father was dead. Because we need to understand that the Jewish tradition was to bury the dead as quickly as possible. Some Jewish traditions require that the family be in mourning for 7 days. Others require that they be in mourning for 30 days. So a burial was really important in the Jewish tradition. But what he's really doing is this. He's asking permission. Or him asking permission to bury his father did not mean that his father was dead. This was a very common phrase, though, that would refer to the responsibility of the children to help their dad until their dad passed away. Well, why would they do that for? Because that means they were being obedient and they would receive their inheritance. You wouldn't receive an inheritance until your father had passed. But part of the responsibility was to help your father to receive the inheritance. And if you didn't help your father, then you could lose all of your inheritance, or you may just receive a portion of the inheritance. So when he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father, he's saying, let me go back home. Let me work with my father until he dies and it's time to bury him. That could have been 5 years. It may have been a year. We don't know how old his dad was, but it could have been a very long time. So what he is saying is, let me take care of what I need to do first. I want to receive the inheritance. My father is going to give it to me after his death. I'm going to receive it and I want it. And when he found out that you can't do that, he didn't follow Jesus. He had a desire, but he didn't want to give up his inheritance. So this is how Jesus responds. Verse 22. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. That simply means to put your spiritual responsibility before everything else. Follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. Don't neglect the spiritual calling. Let the spiritually dead attend to the routine of the task of everyday life, pretty much. God is not saying to neglect our family here. He's not saying that it's wrong to go to funerals. He's not saying it's wrong to go want to bury your father or your mother or your children. It's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is very important, to put your spiritual responsibility before everything else. That in our society, what we're doing is putting everything else first. We're putting the things of this life first. We're putting our health first. We're putting our job first. We're putting our family first. We're putting our bank account first. We're putting all of our things first before we put God. And he's saying we have it backwards. Put me first and let me worry about everything else. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. What I want you to do is just follow me. I just want you to be obedient to what I tell you to do. And I just want you to put me as the center of your life. That's what he's saying. The first responsibility of every, or one of the responsibilities of every disciple, is to proclaim the gospel. The good news of eternal life to all that are spiritually dead. Follow me. Come worry about my business. Well, what is your business? Proclaim the gospel. Well, who am I going to proclaim it to? To the spiritually dead. Oh, why do we support missionaries? To proclaim the gospel. To those that were spiritually dead, the people you saw in these pictures before they heard about Jesus, they were spiritually dead. But praise the Lord, they heard the gospel and now they're walking in newness of life. And it's nothing that I did. It's not that I went over there and came up with some great plan and I tried to do everything on my own. It is the power of God, and that is what happens when we follow Him and we're worried about His business and proclaiming His word. It's not anything special about me or about you. It has everything to do about Him. So neither of the two men that came to Jesus are ever mentioned again in the Bible. We never hear about these two men again. Well, why? Because apparently, neither was willing to sacrifice and be committed to following Him. Matthew 16:24. Let's go to Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You want to follow Jesus? Deny self. Take up that cross and follow him. Is it always going to be easy to follow Jesus? No. Is everybody going to applaud you when you follow Jesus? No. Is everybody going to always be super excited about the business you're doing and send you cards and send you flowers and call you and send you text messages? Keep up the good work. No. But if you want to follow me, take the cross. It says, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. So, several years ago, I was really overweight. I was in the obese category. All my levels were high, blood pressure, cholesterol. I was pretty young. And I said, I don't want to live like this no more. So I got committed. Committed to trying to lose weight. That meant sacrifice. Because my wife is a good cook. That means saying no to a lot of things I liked. That means the last time I was on furlough, I had to say no to a lot of grandmas that brought me cakes. A lot of ice creams. Because I knew what it was to be overweight. And then I knew what it was to be in a little bit better condition. And I didn't want to go back there. I wanted to be committed. And it was hard. There were times I had to sacrifice, and there were times I had to go exercise when I didn't want to go exercise, and there were times I had to say no to this because I wanted to be committed and I didn't want it to affect my overall living. Well, that same attitude that I had towards that is the same attitude I should have towards the Word of God. I knew what it was like to live not being committed to the Word of God, and I know what it's like living being committed to the God, and I'll say what is best is living your life committed to God. I don't want to go back to the other way. That way wasn't good for me. I may have been happy for the moment, but in the long run, I wasn't a happy person. But being committed to God brings happiness and joy and peace. So you may be here this morning. And you may have a desire to follow Jesus. And that's great. I'm glad you do. But to truly follow Jesus, you're going to have to neglect yourself. You're going to have to be committed to the Word of God. God is looking this morning for committed disciples. Disciples that are worried, that aren't worried about their life, but that are more concerned about the will of God for your life. Are you concerned this morning about the will of God for your life? What is it that concerns you? Just look at what you're committed to, and that will show you what you're more concerned about. So do a quick check. What are you spending all of your time on? The things of this world or the things of God? Do you spend more time doing activities than you do wanting to serve the Lord? Do you spend more time watching television? Hey, than you do to try to be in the Word of God? Hey, do you spend more time at the ballpark than you do in church? Then I'll tell you, you're more committed to those things than you are to God. And God is looking for people that are going to say, hey, I do like this, but if it interferes with me being in church, if it interferes with me saying yes to His will, if it interferes with me being willing and me being available to do whatever God wants me to do, then I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to do it. Some God may be speaking to you this morning. I want you to do this. Hold on a second, Lord. I have a desire to do that. But I'm not willing to make the sacrifice to follow you. God may be speaking about some of you to be involved in Faith Promise missions. Oh, Lord, I have a desire to help missionaries, but I don't know if I'm really willing to make the sacrifice that you want me to do and to give that. That's just too much. God, I have a desire to be a missionary, but Lord, to go to that country? That's just too much. I don't even speak the language. Lord, I have a desire to really want to serve you and be in church, but Lord, to miss the Super Bowl? That goes out really quiet. Lord, I have a desire to be in church and to want to do your will for my life. And yes, I want my family to grow. And yes, I want the blessings of God. But to miss this or to miss that or to miss my favorite TV show? Oh, Lord, I can't do that. Then all you have is a desire. But God isn't only looking for a desire. He's looking for a desire that is accompanied by sacrifice, by neglecting you and saying yes to Him. Are you neglecting yourself, your will, to follow His? These men were not. And we don't read about them anymore. The only thing we read about them is that they did not sacrifice to follow Him. What will your life story be if it ends today? Will you be mentioned anymore throughout life as there was a person who was committed to follow Jesus? He denied himself. She denied himself. Man, he sure had a desire to serve God, but he never really did much. I want it to be said. He had a desire, and he was committed to fulfill God's will for his or her life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. So thankful for the example in your word. Lord, I truly believe that these people wanted to follow you, but they lacked commitment. They lacked saying no to self. They had a desire, but that desire didn't lead them to any action because they weren't willing to sacrifice. Lord, there may be someone here this morning. I don't know their hearts, but you do. And Lord, for some time now, they've been fighting against your will. Not that they haven't had a desire to do your will. They just haven't had the commitment. They just aren't willing to give up certain things. Lord, there may be somebody here. Oh, they have a desire to be saved. Oh, they really want to get saved. But they aren't willing to give up their lifestyle. They're not willing to humble themselves and say, you know what? I'm going to say no to self. I'm not going to trust in my own works to get to heaven. I'm going to say yes to you, and I'm going to repent of my sins and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I'm going to follow you and let you be my Master. Lord, however you spoke to hearts this morning, I pray that you would help us to respond. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.